Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 28. Today's verse is text number 17. Amulamitad bahurupa rupitam Mano vacha prana sarira karma Yanasino pasanaya sitena Chidvamo nirgam vicharatya trishna Amulam, without foundation, etat, this, referring to the false ego, bahurupa, in many forms, rupitam, ascertained, mana, of the mind, vacha, speech, prana, the life air, sharira, and the gross body, karma, the functions, jnana, of transcendental knowledge, asina, by the sword, upashanaya, through devotional worship, of the spiritual master. Sitena, which has been sharpened. Chitva, cutting off. Muni, a sober sage. Gam, this earth. Vicharati, wonders. Atrishna, free from material desires. Translation. Although the false ego has no factual basis, it is perceived in many forms as the functions of the mind, speech, life air, and bodily faculties. But with the sword of transcendental knowledge, sharpened by worship of a bona fide spiritual master, a sober sage will cut off this false identification and live in this world free from all material attachments. Purport. The word bahurupa rupitam, perceived in many forms, also indicates that the false ego is manifest in the belief that one is a demigod, a great man, a beautiful lady, an oppressed worker, a tiger, a bird, an insect, and so on. By the influence of false ego, the pure soul accepts some material covering to be his ultimate self. But such ignorance can be removed by the process described in this verse. Om Jyanti Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinotarinam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanejo Vaishnavejo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Amulam etad bahurupa rupitam mano vacha prana sarira karma janani shopasana yasite na chidvamu nirgam vicharapya krishna. Although the false ego has no factual basis, it is perceived in many forms as the functions of the mind, speech, life air, and bodily faculties. But with the sword of transcendental knowledge, sharpened by the worship of a bona fide spiritual master, a sober sage will cut off this false identification and live in this world free from all material attachments. I remember a class given in 1975 when I was at the Laguna Beach Temple, given by His Holiness Vishnujana Swami. And he finished the verse, and then he went like this: an eagle, high in the sky, searching for his food. A mouse, walking on the canyon floor, here and there. All of a sudden, the eagle spies the mouse and goes into a dive. The mouse, nibbling here and there, all of a sudden feels a shadow coming over him. He looks up, sees the eagle. He runs as fast as he can and dives into his hole, but at the last second, the eagle snatches him up with his talons and takes him up to the top of the cliff. This is the bodily concept of life. That's how he started his talk. So, that is the bodily concept of life, and thinking you're a woman or a man or an Australian or an Indian is also the bodily concept of life. Amulam, in this verse, mul is the root. Amul means no root, no foundation, no basis. So the ego has no basis, no foundation, no reality. There's no root to it. But it is perceived by false identification. The living entity falsely identifies with his body, falsely identifies with his senses, with his mind, and believes that these three coverings of body, senses, and minds is him or her, and therefore he engages in his daily activities. That is the false conception of the eagle, the mouse, and the human being. All are on the same platform of falsely identifying with the external body. Why do we do that? If we're not the body, how have we come to this false identification? We come to this false identification. Oh, you want to answer? You raised your hand.
We enjoy
it. Well, it's natural to enjoy. Ananda mayam vyasat. The natural constitutional position of the living entity is to enjoy, because Krishna is a supreme enjoyer and we're part and parcel of him. So that's not the reason. The reason is that over millions and so many births, we've developed very many negative qualities, negative things, dirty things in the heart, anarthas, unwanted things, which are like dirt and dust covering the mirror of the heart. If you go into an abandoned, haunted house, for example, that no one's ever lived in for so long, you go into the bathroom and it's dirty and filthy and stinky, and the mirror is just covered with dirt and grime. You don't see your reflection. But if you spray it with some cleanser, I don't know what cleanser you use here, wipe it clean, then you see your reflection. So the same with the mirror of our heart, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Lord Chaitanya has explained, we have to clean the mirror of the heart from all the accumulated dust and dirt, accumulated for so many births, innumerable births. So because the mirror of the heart is covered with this dirt and dust, it doesn't reflect back. When the mirror of the heart is clean, it reflects back your true identity, and you see that I am spirit, I am pure spirit. But because our hearts are not clean, the mirror of the heart is dirty, full of dust and grime, therefore we don't see, there is no reflection, we don't see our eternal nature, we don't see that we're spirit soul. So we falsely come to the conclusion that I must be this body, because that's all I can see. And because I believe this body, then I believe all of the propaganda relating to the body. You're born in this country, therefore you are an Australian body. Australian body is better than a New Zealand body. And we make jokes about the New Zealand bodies, you see. In America, a white body is better than a black body. Anyway, you get the idea. So we're all suffering from an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. We're thinking we're somebody that we're not. We're identifying with the vehicle, not with the driver. I gave this example one time, that the rich man's driving in his car, Rolls Royce, his servant is in the car with him. I stop for a red light, the guy behind doesn't stop in time and smashes into him. The rich guy is like fried to the max, his Royal Rolls Royce. Just to take it in for a mechanic to look at it costs thousands of dollars, what to speak of getting replacing parts. So he comes out of his car screaming and yelling at the guy, "You hit me, I'm going to sue you, give me your license, you hit me," like this. The servant goes home to his wife and he says, "You know what happened today? Someone hit the boss's car." He doesn't say, "You hit me." He's not identifying with the Rolls Royce. The boss is, "You hit me." So, as devotees, we're not meant to identify with that which is false, but we're meant to identify with that which is real. So in this verse, although the false ego has no factual basis, it is perceived by us to be factual. And we do, because of the functions of the mind is thinking, it's my mind, and the way I think, this is who I am, this is the way I think, this is my opinion, this is my belief, this is my feeling, this is the way I see things. And what you speak, everything you say, this is me. You write it down as poetry, you publish it in a book, you're my poems, this is me. And or what we do. I'm a tennis player. No, I'm a cricketer. No, I'm a swimmer. However, with the sword of transcendental knowledge, we cut through this. Om Abhyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. I was born in the deepest darkness of ignorance with my eyes closed. But by the mercy of the topmost pure devotee and wandering mendicant, the lotus-like Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly come to us and given us knowledge, the torchlight of knowledge of Bhagavatam and Gita, so that we can cut through this false illusion, this misidentification, and come to our senses and realize who we are. So with the sword of transcendental knowledge, which Prabhupada is imparting to us, combined with service, then a sober person will cut that false identification and live his life free from material attachments. We're no longer attracted to the material because we understand that it is false. Now we become attracted to the reality, the beautiful reality of Gaur Nithai, Radha and Krishna, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Maharani. So, false ego is defined as the illusory identification with the material body, senses, and mind. So, the first teaching is, you're not that body. You're not that body. Everybody know that teaching? Yes? How many people... Now everybody knows it. How many people have the realization and they, during their daily life, moment to moment, they're acting like I'm not the body? How many, let me see how many hands. Just our advanced Mahatma Das here and this gentleman here. The rest of us are thinking we're our body. The proof is every time you look in the mirror, that's me. I need a shave today. I'm not looking so good. Or, you know, whatever. I need to put on some makeup. I can't go out in public looking like this. Sound familiar? So even though we have this information that we're not the body, it has not yet become transcendental knowledge for us. I still say I'm an Indian. I still say I'm an Australian. I still think I'm a man, or I still think I'm a woman. So, what is our situation? We've been given this information. Why are we still in the same consciousness as before we had the information? Because even though the false ego has no basis, no root in reality, it has become rooted in our consciousness, in our false misidentification. In our, like we're suffering an identity crisis because we're convinced that we are the body. We're absolutely convinced of it. Intellectually, we can say we're not, but our every action proves that we are the body. Our thoughts prove that we're the body. How many people say, I'm hungry? How many people say the body needs food? Do you say I'm tired or the body needs some rest? Are we identifying or misidentifying with the body as the self even after getting the transcendental knowledge delivered by this glorious gentleman here, this pure devotee? So, in order to solve a problem, you have to understand what the problem is. Now we understand what is our problem. We're still more or less on square one. We may be acting when we're in the temple or when we're out in Sankirtan as though we were advanced spiritualists. But when you come right down to the crunch, we're not. The reality is, we're still conditioned souls. Generally what happens, Prabhupada explained it like this. In the morning, we get up, come to the temple, we have our darshan, we do the pujas, we do our chanting, and in this way, we're building a fire of devotion, devotional fire of spiritual life. And then, in the afternoon and evening, we get absorbed in material things, which is like pouring water on the fire. So you build the fire every morning, every evening you pour it off. put and extinguish it with water. Build the fire, extinguish. Build the fire, pour the water. Build the fire, pour the water. That's what Prabhupada explained. That's our situation. Can you make advancement doing that? Can you? Can we make advancement doing that? No. We have to stop pouring the water on the fire. We have to remain in this consciousness of spirit soul, moment to moment to moment to moment. And the only way you can do it is to be fully engaged in service. And the best service is either chanting Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day, which is difficult to do, or you preach to somebody and explain to them the philosophy, answer their questions. And by doing that, you stay connected to that spiritual energy. Thus, the sound vibration can purify us. Chetu Dharpana Marjanam Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. It can extinguish the blazing forest fire of material existence. Chetu Dharpana Marjanam. The Mahamantra enters the ear and then enters into the heart, cleanses the mirror of the heart. You see who you are. And once you see who you are, no longer have attachment to anything material. So blazing fire of material existence is extinguished because you're no longer relating to it. It has no effect on us anymore. Anandam buddhi vardhanam, and the ananda for which everyone is hankering, that bliss, that happiness, that joy from within, increases more and more. But in order for that to take place, the sound vibration of the mantra has to enter into the ear, and then from the ear into the heart. Now all of you have gone through the educational system in this country. You sat there in the classrooms, you took notes as the professor spoke, you studied those notes, took the exam, passed. Do you remember sitting in the class taking those notes? How many people remember that? Do you remember you were very focused? You were listening really carefully. Because those notes are important. You're going to need those notes to study later on to pass the exam. Otherwise, a year is lost if you don't pass. But even though we're very focused, sometimes we start to space out and the mind carries us somewhere else. And we miss the point that the professor's making, and we have to ask our neighbor, what was that last point? And if they're too busy writing and they don't answer you, you just see what they wrote and you write it down. Does that sound familiar? We've all been there, right? Now, without realizing it, that experience teaches a very valuable lesson, one of the most valuable lessons you'll ever learn. If anybody has a paper and pencil, write this down. When you think, you cannot hear. As soon as you start thinking, you can't hear what he said. You have to get someone else's notes to write it down. So when you think, you can't hear. What happens when you're chanting japa and you start thinking?
Japa goes to hell.
What happens to you?
Yeah.
You can't hear. Have you ever been in a discussion with someone? They're giving their points, you're giving your points. You come up with a good point, they counter it with another good point. And then you come up with your better point, and they counter it with and it's going on like this. And then while he's giving his next point, you're already thinking what your next point's going to be. Is that familiar? And then when he says, well, what do you think of that point?
Well,
I didn't really hear it. Because you were thinking of your next point, so you didn't really hear it. Does that sound familiar? Did you write it down? When you think, you can't hear. So when you're chanting your japa and you start thinking, you don't hear your japa. You don't hear it. Therefore, it doesn't enter into the ear. Therefore, it doesn't go into the heart, and there's no chaito dakana marginam taking place. No cleansing taking place. You're just sitting and muttering away, no result. Well, you may get some osmosis result. Let's be very generous. Maybe you get 10%, maybe 20%. However, I'm a firm believer that if you're going to do something, take your time and your energy to do something, it makes sense to get 100% of the benefit. It doesn't make sense for the same amount of time and energy to only get a fraction of the benefit. Does anybody agree with me? We're all on the same page. Then we've got to fix what is broken. And what is broken is our application of the teachings. We're not taking it seriously. We've become blasé. We're doing it on automatic pilot. Just to get it done. Next, now what can I do? That new movie, Harry Potter, new movie in 3D. You gotta go see that. So, you gotta get serious. So, liberation is not an impersonal experience. Liberation is not something that we do on an automatic pilot. It's not something that we accomplish by being spaced out. But it's something that we become dedicated to. And we focus our mind, senses, and intelligence on associating with Sri Krishna in one of his many forms. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Krishna has unlimited forms. One form is the deity form. We can focus our attention on the deity form when we're in the temple. However, when the curtains close, that's the end of our focus on the deity form. However, there's the prasadam form. You can focus your attention on the prasadam form of the Lord. And when the meal is over, you take that form of the Lord with you in your tummy. But after it's digested, it's also gone. Then there's the sound vibration, the mantra form of the Lord. That you can have with you at every waking moment. You can be chanting it out loud, you can be thinking the mantra in your mind. That you take with you wherever you go. That's very powerful. And we engage two senses. We engage the three senses, actually, when you include the mind. We engage the tongue, the ears, and the mind in this process. You only engage the eyes in taking darshan of the deity form. You only engage the tongue and perhaps the nose, the smelling the flavor of the prasadam, and you have that form of the deity, and you connect it to that form. But this Mahamantra form is the most powerful. And Prabhupada said that when you are chanting with full attention, care and attention, then Krishna is dancing on your tongue. So, There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. The right way to do things in this process of bhakti yoga is to follow the four regulative principles. That's the right way. If you only follow three, it's not the right way. Most of us only follow three. Which one is it that we don't follow on a daily basis? The fourth one, no gambling or mental speculation. We're mental speculating practically every hour. And that's a gamble. Because when you mental speculate, it means you've come to a conclusion about something and you believe that this is so, when it may not be so. Because you haven't done your research to determine whether it's so or not. So that's a gamble. I'm gambling that what I think is correct is actually correct. But if it's not correct, you gambled wrong. So a gamble means that you can be right and you get a benefit, or you can be wrong and you lose. That's the definition of a gamble. You can either win or lose. You can be either right or wrong. Is that the definition of gambling? But what he is giving us, there's no question of being wrong. What Prabhupada is giving to us is the absolute truth. We follow that, we're always rightly situated. That's not a gamble. That's 100% guarantee. And we're gambling away in this life. Some of us. So we have to revise our lifestyle. We have to revise or re-examine our sadhana. How are we doing? How am I doing today compared to last month or last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago? How many people remember this? You first have met the devotees. And you come to the temple for the first time and you see everything. I think it's so wonderful, and you see how everybody's living, and you think they're all so pure. And you tell your friend, these people, they're so pure, it's unbelievable. And you develop an affinity for them, a friendship, and you like to come here. And because you see everybody is so dedicated, and so on the path that you'd like to be, and so pure, can I serve you? What service can I do? And you just love prasadam. You've never tasted anything like it. You eat 10 times more than you normally eat. Can I have more of that halava? And you get, and then finally you just say, this is so ecstatic. This is so wonderful. I want to live with this. And you give up your material life. And you come and associate with these people. You're making advancement like a rocket. And all of a sudden, after maybe a year or two or three, however long it takes, you notice that you're not making such quick advancement anymore. It's kind of tapered off. Maybe even... What happened? You were doing so good in the beginning. Then what happened? Well, there's several steps that check your progress. The first step is called taking first initiation and getting a spiritual name. As soon as you get that spiritual name, you now think, I'm a real devotee now. And that new bhakta, I'm more advanced than that new bhakta. And you start seeing people in a different light. Because in the beginning when you first came, you thought every devotee was a pure devotee. But now that you're initiated, you start noticing people's faults. The way the person did that, I could have done better. Or, someone's tilak's not on straight or whatever, you know. That's the first pitfall. Then the next point of departure from the pure teachings of the spiritual masters when you take second initiation. Now I am a Brahmin. These new bhaktas should be serving me. And we say our Gayatri, we pull that thread out so as far as we can so everybody can see. You know what Prabhupada said about that? It's a 3-rupee Brahmin. You can go, anybody can go into a store in Vrindavan, buy a thread, put it on, and put their finger on it like that. 3-rupee Brahmin. Means nothing. And so we've lost that mood. We don't see everybody as a pure devotee anymore. We're not serving everybody anymore. We want people to serve us. Or we like to be served. We're seeing people's faults. And then we even get to the point of sharing those faults with someone else. Really? Yeah. Tell me more. Have you heard the latest? I'm all ears. And so, like, how many people remember this? You first came in contact with the devotees and you heard that by chanting the Maha Mantra, it's so powerful, you become completely purified. And even that animals and plants, if they hear the mantra, they get a human body. And when you walk down the street, you're saying Hare Krishna to the trees and Hare Krishna to the dog and the cat. Do you remember that? How many people remember that? How many people still do that? Less hands. See? So we're meant to check our progress. So we have to revive our Krishna consciousness. We have to become free from the contamination of this false conception and dedicate ourselves to the loving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Not in Krishna unconsciousness. I was in the class, 1975 in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada all of a sudden he said, "So, don't be Krishna unconscious." Krishna unconscious means that you're just doing it on automatic pilot. You're not even aware of what you're doing. Don't be Krishna unconscious. First become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. First become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. When you chant your japa, first become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. But if your mind takes you far, far away, you're chanting your japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, and you train yourself up, you train your mouth to go Krishna Ram Ram, Krishna Ram Ram, so you can go somewhere far away. And then when you get to the end of the round, the Krishna bead, you get snapped back to reality. Oh, it's the end of a round. Can't remember how I got there, though. Oh well, count it as another round chanted. And in the beginning, we used to chant really good rounds. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We chanted to become purified. And then somewhere along the line, our focus changed and we chanted to get finished with the 16 rounds, to put it behind us. So we had two mentalities, one to become pure and one to finish my prescribed duty. Which is more attractive to Krishna?
Pure.
If you want to establish a relationship with somebody, first become conscious, then you can become
established in a relationship with somebody. So what's happened is that we're all pure spirit souls, eternal servants of Krishna, Nitya Krishna Das. We all have divine consciousness, Krishna Prema. But it's all been covered by all these anarthas. And the Shastra explains the most prominent ones, which are lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, prejudice, bigotry, and so on and so on. And every one of these anarthas, these negative things in the heart, are another brick in the wall separating us from Krishna. Another brick in the wall. I whisper some gossip to somebody, another brick in the wall. I listen to some rumor about somebody, another brick in the wall. I find fault with another devotee, another brick in the wall. Separating me from Krishna. And I'm on the path of self-realization. That is the biggest illusion. So I went from one illusion, that I'm the body, to a greater illusion that now I'm free and I'm on a transcendental platform. So first become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. I remember Prabhupada saying that, stuck with me. It's so true. It's such a simple truth. Don't be Krishna unconscious. Prabhupada knew. Krishna unconscious. We're completely unconscious trying to connect to Krishna. It's not Maya unconscious. It's Krishna unconscious. But unconscious is still unconscious. It doesn't attract. It's not going to attract the object of your love. So we're undergoing material suffering, the pangs of material suffering, stress, anxiety, this, that, and the other thing, because on the one hand we falsely accepted the body as the self, we're suffering from an identity crisis, and on the other hand we're Krishna unconscious, we're not even doing the process right. So we're like the hamster on the wheel. We're working really hard, but we're going nowhere. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. John Lennon really had that one right. So let's first become conscious. Then we can become Krishna conscious. So let's begin by realizing that we're the eternal servant of Krishna. Prabhupada has come here and given us the process to return back home, back to Godhead. Let's take it seriously. Let's revive our sadhana. Let's get back on track and make this a successful life by going back home, back to Godhead. So we'll read the translation again. Although the false ego has no factual basis, it is perceived in many forms as the functions of the mind, the speech, the life there, and the bodily faculties. But with the sword of transcendental knowledge, sharpened by the worship of a bona fide spiritual master, a sober sage will cut off this false identification and live in this world free from all material attachment. Sober sage will cut off this false identification, and a drunken sage will not. An intoxicated sage will get all the mirth, all the transcendental knowledge, and not utilize it properly. So, who are we? The choice is ours. Prabhupada's given us everything. We have the choice to follow it. 1%, 10%, 50%, or 100%. Choice is ours. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Yes, Prabhupada.
Today, class the other day.
Okay.
When you ask the question, is the Bible tongues theory or practical?
Yes.
In fact, it's both. If in fact you're not Krishna conscious, then it's theory. If you're Krishna conscious, then it's truth.
Exactly. So that was a comment. You just wanted to make a comment. So you thought about that,
what
I said. Now you've got some deeper understanding. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Yes.
We were discussing how it comes a point in our chanting when we think that the purpose of the chanting is not to become purified. Or could I suggest searching here?
Well, the chanting does purify and it does heal. That happens automatically. Your question is, what is your motivation? Or what?
The question is, how much is chanting meant to allow us just to hear more?
Well, it's like any tool. You can use that tool any way. So you may take this tool of chanting and you will use it in one way, someone will use it in another way. You may use it to hear better, someone will use it to get pure, someone will use it to open up the heart chakra, someone will use it to connect with Krishna, someone will use it to get out of Maya, someone will use it to become free from anxiety or stress. Doesn't matter what our motivation is or what our intent is, as long as we're connected. The mantra does the work and our motivations become purified. We all become purified in the end. So in the beginning, nobody comes pure. Everybody comes with their own bag and baggage, their own opinions, their own conceptions. But by sticking to the process, they become purified. Prabhupada gave the example of someone like a kid. He's out playing in the yard and he's all dirty and grimy and everything. Mother takes him into the bathroom, puts him in the shower. When someone's in the shower, they're going to get clean. Doesn't matter how dirty they are, how they got dirty, or whatever, but they're going to get clean. And we can't find fault with someone who's in the shower. Hey, you're dirty, but I'm in the shower. Still, you're dirty. I mean, that's ridiculous. Someone who's in the shower is going to get clean. That's why he's there. So finding fault on that point means there's something wrong in coming from us. Which Lord Jesus said, the speck in your eye is like a log. Because it's in coming from us, not from the other person. So this mantra has great purifying effects because it's non-different than Sri Krishna himself. And we're connected to Krishna. We're the iron rod. And Prabhupada's put us in the fire. And we're going to get red hot. We're going to take on the qualities of fire, light and heat. And we can touch something and it'll start to burn. But if we don't stay in the fire, then we just end up an iron rod again. Or as Prabhupada said, Punar Mushika Babu. Again, a mouse. Start off as a mouse, and again a mouse. You blew it. So, let's just stay fixed with care and attention. Understand what Prabhupada's giving, the do's and the don'ts. That's called yama and niyama. In Sanskrit, they say the don'ts and the do's. We say the do's and the don'ts in English. But the don'ts are the yamas and the do's are the niyamas. So the don'ts are, there's several groups of don'ts. There's the group of four. What are those called? The four, what principles? Four regulative principles. Those are four don'ts. Then we have a group of ten. What are those don'ts? Ten offenses. So those are yamas. What's a niyama? It's a group of 16. What's the first niyama? First group, 16 what? Rounds. Very good. At least one person. 16 rounds. Like that. Now, I looked at that and I analyzed it. I became very introspective. And I looked at the 10 offenses. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But still I was doing them. So then I looked at it. Okay, it's a very negative thing. Don't do this. How can I make that positive? So after analyzing it, I came up with the 10 benedictions. I took the yamas and turned them into niyamas. Benediction number one. I always glorify the devotees who have dedicated their life to propagating the holy name of the Lord. First benediction. Second benediction. I only glorify the name of Sri Krishna. I'm not interested in the names of the demigods. Third benediction. I always obey the orders of my spiritual master. All the way up to the 10th benediction. I always chant with care and attention. I am not interested in attachments, in any of these material attachments. So the 10 benedictions, it's a positive way to lead your life. So, I've developed a strategy how to implement the philosophy in my life that works for me. On every facet of the philosophy, I've developed a strategy, like for chanting japa, for controlling the mind, for doing kirtan, for following the principles, this and that. I've developed my strategy that works for me. Now, it may not work for everybody, because everybody's an individual. But everybody should at least come up with their own strategy to perfect, or if not perfect, or at least come close to perfecting, the process. You got to first become conscious. Then you can become Krishna conscious. So I became conscious. How can I do this better? How can I do that better? How do I control my mind? How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I get the result? What do I have to do to make sure, guarantee that this is my last life, back to home, back to God, and never take birth ever again? So I developed the strategies, different strategies, to make sure I'm always on top of my game, to use a sports analogy. So I suggest you do that too. And here's a good hint. Here's a good test you can always do, which I learned from His Holiness Srishtijan Swami. This is what he taught. Before you say anything or before you do anything, you always ask yourself this one question first. And here's the question. What I'm about to say, is this pleasing to my Guru and to Krishna? Or, what I'm about to do, is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna? And if the answer is yes, then do it. If the answer is no, don't do it. But now you become conscious. Before you do something, before you say something, you become conscious because you trained yourself up to ask yourself the question, is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna? Like I've just heard some gossip and I'm about to tell someone else, and is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna? No, it's not. Won't say it. No gossip. Nothing negative. There's strategies for controlling your mind. Who wants to know some tips how to control your mind? This you have to practice day after day after day after day. Okay? The first strategy is you never say anything negative. You don't want negativity in your life. I don't want negativity in my life, so I make a promise to myself. I'm not going to say anything negative. No negative if a negative thought comes to my mind, I kick it out immediately. I turn it around, make it positive. Because I don't want negativity in my life. I only want positive. You have to practice that. You don't speak, you don't think anything negative. Try that for several months. When you've accomplished that, here's the next one. You don't hear anything negative from anybody else. Someone comes up to you, have you heard the latest? I couldn't care less. Not interested. Someone starts speaking negatively, you say, excuse me just for a second. I just want to share something with you. That I have a new philosophy of life. I only speak and only hear positive things. So what you're about to say, if it's positive, great. But if it's negative, hasta la vista. Which means see you later. So you have to come up with your strategies. You have to come up with, you know, how you're going to accomplish controlling the mind. You know, following the principles, doing this, doing that, blah, 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 like that. First become conscious. Then you'll become Krishna conscious. And everyone's different. So what may work for a woman may not work for a man, or vice versa. I remember I was giving a seminar on this one time, and I said that when I chant japa, or when I do kirtan, maybe you've all seen me when I do kirtan, most of the time my eyes are closed. The reason I do that is because when my eyes are open, all I see is material energy. So when I close my eyes, I can focus better. And then someone raised their hand and said, but when I close my eyes, I fall asleep. So then I said, that strategy is not going to work for you. You have to come up with your own, what works for you. See? But you have to think about it. You have to become conscious. And implement the philosophy that is best for you, that gives you the best result, that works best for your particular person, who individual that you are. For me, singing, doing kirtan is the best thing. For someone else, it's cooking, like kurma. He can just stay in that kitchen and cook and cook and cook and teach everybody how to cook and become Krishna conscious by cooking and eating. It's a great way to become Krishna conscious. Someone else is a pujari, you know, someone else is a seamstress making all that, you know, whatever it is. Find out the path of least resistance, work out the best strategy, and go back home, back to Godhead in this life. Don't struggle. It's not a struggle. Keval Ananda Kanda, it's simply bliss. Just do it right. Any other points? Yes, Mataji.
Just now, you were about the
path of least resistance.
Yes. Well, if it's path, from what I saw and what I was really trying to do quickly vice versa, for instance, if something is difficult for me, like, I don't know, for instance, to go out and books or something, but another Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master, there's so much for it, and all the authority they really appreciate, so I just do everything so that I could do it, or anything else that I can't do it. And, like, because before that moment that she said it, I was convinced that it was right. Otherwise, like, I don't know, if I like.
Well, look.
I'm a year five.
When I was in Los Angeles Temple, after the morning program, after breakfast, the devotees would all change into their street clothes and go out and, you know, as not as devotees, and distribute books and magazines and that. So I didn't like doing that. So I told my temple president, I'm going to go out as a devotee, dressed as a devotee. That way when people see me, they know who they're dealing with. If they're not interested, I'm not going to waste my time. And if they are interested, I can really get into the philosophy. So that was the strategy that I took, and it worked for me. I was happy going out that way. Someone else must be happy maybe going out the other way. Whatever works for you. You're an individual.
Yes, but my question was more about the just in general, not about the point, but
well, anything.
Like maybe the least resistance or something like.
Yeah, take the path of least resistance. That means whatever is easy for you to do to accomplish. Prabhupada used different language. He said you do the service according to your propensity. What is your propensity? That means what is your attraction? What do you like to do? Right? That's the path of least resistance. According to your propensity. And then you become purified, and after a certain point you can do anything. Because once you're pure, then there is no resistance. It's all ecstasy. But in the beginning there's resistance. Just coming from the mind and conditioning from the past. So you just want to get purified as fast as possible. Prabhupada told me, you have to get off the Kanishta Adhikari platform. What is the Kanishta Adhikari platform? It means that you're a neophyte devotee and you're thinking that only your service is bona fide and everyone else not up to your standard. You have to get off that platform and get to the Madhyam platform. And the Madhyam platform is that everyone's doing service better than me. I got to raise myself up. So on the Kanishta Adhikari platform, you're looking down at people. Oh, I can do that better than so and so. I can do it better than him. I can do it better than her. And the Madhyam Adhikari platform is I want to associate with that person because they do it better than me. Madhyam Adhikari, every time I see a Vaishnava, a smile comes to my face. And Kanishta, not a smile doesn't always come to their face. He likes him, doesn't like him. Doesn't like her, doesn't like this. See? So we have to rise to the Madhyam Adhikari platform, because on the initial platform you're on shaky ice. You can fall down at any moment. At any moment. So you have to come to the platform, you're a little fixed up. And how to do that is to follow the process and get purified. Start purifying, pure, pure, pure. And you come up to that platform, now you're solid. I remember Prabhupada said, you must become fixed up. Fixed up means solid. That's where I got it from. He said, fixed up means solid. Is that helpful? Thank you very much, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya.